guess I can barely. Yeah, see, I told you I wasn't needed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You glad to be in the house of God tonight? Well, it's raining outside. Amen. And looking for rain on the inside. Amen. Just as we come to the evening service here, come to the time of the evening sacrifice. Amen. I believe it was the time of the evening sacrifice when Elijah the prophet drew near. Amen. And my, a land that was parched and dry, hadn't seen rain in 3 years. Amen. The word of that prophet. Amen. God sent an abundance of rain. But it didn't come all at once. He sent his servant out and he said, I see a cloud as a man's fist. It was far off. Amen. But that prophet had an eagle vision. He said, run tell the king, because it's coming. I hear the abundance of rain, he said. Amen. Sure enough. Amen. I'm so thankful that there's a revival in this hour. I'm thankful that we haven't missed out on anything. We might not have lived in the time when Christ walked the earth or the time of the apostles, but we haven't missed out on one little bit, brother, sister. We live in a great time. We live in a time when God is doing things. It's not the same things necessarily. It's a different age. Not the same things in terms of the anointing that's on this, that's coming against the enemy. But it's the same works that Jesus did. Amen? So we live in a great hour. And we live in a time of personal revival. It's not a widespread revival like in days past, but it's a time of personal refreshing. Amen? Where you can meet with Him one-on-one and you can be revived. Tonight, if no one else meets with Him, you can meet with Him. And you can be revived tonight. Amen? It's up to you. It's up to your approach and your mental attitude towards that promise. But you can touch His garment tonight. And you can receive what you have need of. It's all up to you. He's ready and willing tonight to meet every need. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Just appreciate the songs, amen, and the special, and just creating an atmosphere here tonight, amen. And, well, while we have you standing, let's just turn right into the Word, and we're going to continue the thought that we started this morning of stolen worship. So this will be part two. If this morning the subtitle was "What is worship?" Tonight we're going to look at the works of the flesh. Stolen worship, the works of the flesh. Amen? Amen. And I'd like to begin by reading in Isaiah chapter 14. If we could start reading verse 12 through 14 there. Somebody say praise the Lord tonight. Amen. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now many, you know, Bible scholars and commentators will say they're referring, Isaiah's referring to the king of Babylon, or a natural king. And in one form that's true, but he's also referring to actually Lucifer, who he calls by name. Amen. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High. Whew. Have you ever heard somebody who's so filled with ambition and heard them talk, heard the words coming out of their mouths? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it doesn't matter what or who I have to trample to get there. But I am going to. I. The most ambitious being that ever lived. Amen. It all comes right here back to this one we call Lucifer. The son of the morning, the Bible calls him. The cherubim of praise and song and worship near the throne of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we love you so much tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your marvelous works, Lord. And we thank you for spiritual food in due season, Father. And Lord, we believe that that's what your word is to us right now, Lord, tonight. We've received from you today. We've received from you this morning. But right now, Lord, we have need, Lord. And Father, many times, most of the time, we don't even know what that need is. But Lord, you know, and you know how to speak to the heart of your children. Lord, and you know how to reach down and touch a heart. Lord, to take your hand and just grab a hold of a heart, Lord, and move it and shape it, Father, and turn it towards you. So Lord, tonight I pray that you would just manifest yourself, Lord, and Father, that we might see you more clearly. Lord, that we might understand the signs and the times around us, Lord. And we might be shaken, Lord, if we've fallen asleep or maybe we've gotten weary, Lord God, in this walk. But Father, if that's the case, I pray that you would shake us tonight, Lord. And remind us the battle that we're in, Lord. And remind us who's on our side and remind us, Lord, where we're headed. Father, your word just means so much to us, Lord. Father, it's your thoughts toward us, and Lord, we just don't want to take that for granted tonight. We just want to get all that we can, Lord. We want to draw from you, Lord. We want to get strength from you, Lord. We have a battle to engage in, Lord. We've got to step out tomorrow and no doubt go to work or go to school or rub shoulders with the world. And Father, we need more of you. Lord, I pray that you would just bless this little time now. Bless my lips, Father, Lord, I pray that you would just touch them with a coal tonight, Lord. Use them for your purpose, Lord. And touch our hearts, Father, that we're ready and willing to receive. We thank you, Lord, for the natural rain. Lord, we rejoice in its refreshing, life-giving water. But, Lord, we need that spiritual rain here tonight, Lord. We need the life-giving water from the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you in all these things and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. So this morning we just looked and examined at what God says, what the prophet said about what is true worship, right? And how worship is based upon you acknowledging your position and acknowledging God and putting him in his rightful place, exalting him and bowing before him and allowing him to be Lord God. Amen. We see that worship itself, that position, belongs to him alone. It doesn't belong placed anywhere else. It doesn't belong in an idol. It doesn't belong in ourselves, which many times is the way that worship is directed. But it belongs to him and to him alone. Amen. And that he created beings just for worship. And he created us just for worship. We've got a quote on that for you tonight. That we were made to worship God. Amen. I like that song, I was made. I was made for your glory. Amen. I was made to worship you. And that's true, brother, sister. We were made to worship God. You know, and so many times people get this idea that it's all, you know, worship has to be all one-sided. You put God in his right place and you worship him the way he's meant to worship him. And there's big benefits for you. You're in your rightful position then. Amen. And then you're opening yourself up for all the blessings of heaven to pour down upon you. That's what's beautiful about it. Amen. So he deserves every bit of our worship. He deserves every bit of our praise. And we kind of talked about what the difference is, right? But And praise, you know, it runs together with worship, but they're not necessarily the same thing. Worship is deeper. It's a commitment. It has actions and results. I could offer praise to somebody, just, you know, say something nice about them, and that would be it. I never communicate with them ever again. But worship is different. Amen. Worship is much deeper. And Brother Branham gave us examples of how people testifying is actually worshiping God. Right? We read that quote where he says, you worship God by telling somebody about the Lord, or by telling somebody that there's a God that can heal. By telling somebody about that circumstance is not greater than the living God. You're exalting Him. You're worshiping Him. You're putting Him in an exalted position. You're acknowledging Him as King. When you're standing in a circumstance and you say, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know God is God over my circumstance, you're putting Him higher than your circumstance. And you're worshiping Him by exalting Him. Amen? So he said, so there's many ways to worship. We gave you some examples of sacrifice, the widow's mite, tithes and offerings, our worship. Amen? It's not clapping your hands, it's not singing a song, but it is worship. It's putting God in His place. It's being obedient to Him. It's worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And truth being in obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's will. Amen? And we saw that scripture that, my, it still just stirs me when I see it. The Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh my. He's seeking. You know, when you're seeking something, you're not just passively waiting for it to come your way. Amen. When you're out looking for something, right? He's out seeking. He's looking for it. He's looking for a place to be welcomed. Amen? He's not just sitting back and, well, if they worship me, they worship me. If they don't, they don't. No, Jesus said the Father is seeking such. He's on the lookout. He's got His angels. Amen? He's got the alert system. Where is one? Looking for one that will walk in obedience to my word. One that will sacrifice their own desires for me. One that will come into subjection. Amen of my word. Who's going to obey me and walk in my ways. Who's not going to be subject to the desires and the works of the flesh. That's what we're going to get into tonight. But He's actively looking for such. Oh, that just thrills me. Amen. You know, the scripture says that Satan's going about as a roaring lion looking for who he's going to devour. But our God is seeking such that will worship Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I want Him to find me worshiping Him. Don't you? Amen. I want that report to come back to Papa. Amen. I want Him to be able to find a place of rest in my life. Find a place where He's comfortable. Amen. Lord, just come on in and put Your feet up. Amen. And be comfortable in my life. May Your spirit be welcome. Not grieving His spirit. Right? But make His spirit welcome. May my life be a sweet savor. Amen. A wonderful smell in His nostrils. Hallelujah. Where He can dwell and find peace as I worship Him. Hallelujah. And we saw that Jesus said it was worship and serve. Right? And the woman with the alabaster box, she came and worshiped and served. She made Him welcome. Amen. And Brother Branham preaches that sermon, Jesus with Dirty Feet. He says, who's going to wash the feet of Jesus? In other words, who's going to worship Him in spirit and in truth and in service and make Him feel welcome? Hallelujah. I want that to be my testimony, don't you? I want my life to be a worship to God. Amen. So we see here in Isaiah that Satan purposed in his heart to be exalted to a place of worship. He wanted a throne that was exalted. He said, look, I'm going to take my throne. Now, what is a throne? A throne is a place of authority. Right? A place of rulership. He's going to have a kingdom. And he wants to exalt his throne above the stars of God. Hallelujah. He wants his power and authority to be over the children of God. He wants to intercept their worship so that he can be like the Most High God. Amen. Hallelujah. He wanted to put himself in the position that was reserved for Christ and Christ alone. That was his great desire, and his great ambition was to take that position. Because worship is all about position. Amen? I want you to look at something here in that 13th verse. If we could just put it back up real quick here. That 13th verse, he said, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven." In other words, into heavenly places, right? "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Now this is, how about this part? "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Now that may not make much sense to us right off the cuff, just reading it at face value. But where it says there, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation." Now the mount of the congregation harkens back to the time of Moses. And it harkens back to the time when God led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And the Mount of the Congregation was also called the Mount of the Divine Presence. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 29. This is where God appointed a place of meeting with Moses and with the congregation. Amen? He promised to meet them before the ark and to commune with them and to speak with them. And meeting the children of Israel at the door of the tabernacle and Mount Zion. And then that was called the Mount of the Convention or of Appointment. All right? It's because God appointed that place. The Mount of the Congregation. God appointed that place, think about it now, where Moses and the children of Israel would meet with God. Now, why does Satan say, "I will sit upon that mount"? What he's saying is, I want to sit in the place where the children of God would, God has appointed that he meets with them. The place where they come to commune with God. Well, we know there's only one place. Amen? We're taught in the message that there is only one provided place of worship. Is that right? So what Satan's saying here, I'm going to sit upon the mount of the congregation. I am going to insert myself as the go-between. I'm going to sit there in the place of God where God would have ordinarily met with his children. Instead, they're going to worship me. Wow. Talk about ambition, right? God's provided place of worship is Christ. That's the only place that we come to worship God. We are taught that in the message, right? That's the only place where God will accept us is through Christ. We must come God's provided way. God's provided place of worship. And so Satan wants to insert himself in that place. Being in God's stead. Amen. This is from the message, Proof of His Resurrection. Brother Branham says, man has always longed to see the other side. In other words, that other dimension. Right? And any little thing that looks a little supernatural, the human being will run for it because it's some sort of promise across the border. Just across the lane. And what makes him do that is because he's created in the image of his Maker, Almighty God. And he's created to be a worshiper of God. And look, he says he must find some place to give an outlet to that feeling. There's something in mankind that wants to worship. We were built to worship. Satan knows this. He knows that the stars of God were made to worship. So what he's trying to do is just get in between. Get in that place where that mankind that was made to worship, he knows they'll readily do it because they want to do it. There's something in them. In all men, whether you're a predestinated seed of God or not. Every man. Every woman. Right? And he says, so all I have to do is take that and harness it, and I will be worshipped as God. Amen? So, we were made to worship, as I said this morning, just as the angels were, but different. Right? But many men have come up with their own belief system, thinking that they somehow have circumvented this whole thing. If you were to ask somebody off the street that is in that condition, you say, well, what do you worship? They would say, nothing. I don't believe in nothing. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in nothing. I believe when I die, I'm gone, and that's it. Well, that's nice. Where did you get that idea? Right? It's a self-made religion. So, even though they wouldn't call it that, they're actually worshiping themselves. Something that they've made, they've put themselves in as the authority. And I myself, it's self-directed life. Right? You know, we mentioned at the beginning when we read that scripture, Satan said, I will, I will, I will, I will. Well, that's just been transferred now unto his subjects in Satan's Eden. And they're saying and parroting the same words. They say, I will. Not Satan, I will. I am. I do this. I want that. I can be what I want. This is modern idolatry. In their ignorance, they are worshiping self. And in that ignorance, they are actually worshiping Satan. Worshipping self, living according to the flesh, is actually worshipping Lucifer. Amen? Amen. Quote, we're going to read quite a few quotes here tonight. I didn't read too many this morning. I hope that's all right. I've got like 11 pages of quotes and scriptures. We got through two this morning, and we got four more here for you here tonight. So, we got lots of material on this. God of this evil age, listen to this. This is important, brother, sister. This is really important. And this is something that we're going to spend a little bit of time on this because I think we forget this, all right? And it's easy to. Brother Branham says, you belong to one of the bodies. He's talking about the body of Christ or the body of Satan, right? One of those bodies. It's got to be. It's just got to be. It's either the body of God, which is by the Word, or the body of Satan by the church. There's only two choices. The whole world will have to belong to some church. Even if it's the church of independent atheist, I don't believe anything. The whole world will have to belong to some church, and it worships some God. You got to worship either the God of, look at what he's putting there, knowledge. What do atheists really worship? It's really about knowledge, isn't it? Science, that's right. Science, knowledge, intellect. You rely upon what you hear by knowledge. You rely upon this or that or the other. Or, so all of that, right? Knowledge, this, that, other. Or, you rely upon God's word by faith. So if it's not relying on God's word by faith, it's other. And if it's other, it's the body of Satan. Strong words. Watching for him to vindicate it and to make it true. So there's two sides. Somehow we've gotten this idea that there are neutrals. Right? That there are people that are just somewhere in between. We're gonna take this down real fine here, amen? But there's really only two sides to this battle. The only neutral ground that we know of that is spoken of in the world as actual neutral ground is in the battleground of the human mind. Where Brother Branham said that the battle between the two forces are arrayed. And your mind is actually a place that can receive either the word or it can receive a lie. Right? And based on that decision that you make, it can propagate. Now you open up your soul or you close off your soul to the word of God based on the thoughts in your mind. But this idea that certain people are neutral is false. You are either in Satan's kingdom or you're in God's kingdom. Amen? In the garden, there was only two trees that were special trees, right? I mean, there was all kinds of other regular trees, but of the two special trees, right, there was only two. There was the tree of life and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? There wasn't a choice number three. There is no Switzerland. Amen? You're on one side or the other. There was only three characters. There was man, God, and Satan. Right? There wasn't some third choice. Man was either aligned with God, and when he became misaligned with God, he became aligned with Satan. Amen. Faith, wisdom. Faith versus wisdom. Every man is automatically born on the wrong side. Amen. It's not like we chose that. You are not born neutral. You're born on the wrong side. We look at people and we go, well, that's a good person. You know, they don't say anything against, you know, Christianity. They're good, they're moral, you know, they're not neutral. They are worshiping a false god. They're worshiping the flesh, they're worshiping something other than God. Now if you're born again, different story. Right? Amen. Good people. But when they live by the desires of the flesh, though even if it's moral, they're self-directed, that's their God. Amen? Operating by wisdom and knowledge. We all know these kind of people. Good people, people you want to be around. But they are living and operating by wisdom and knowledge of the flesh, worshiping the God of this evil age. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's not something in between. Right? The two are contrary. They are at odds with one another. Now we understand, brother, sister, that there are those that belong to Christ, those that are, there are varying degrees of growth and maturity, right? That's not what we're talking about. We all fall into, problems with our flesh, right? Sometimes we all walk according to the flesh instead of the Spirit, and we apologize for it, and we move on, and we repent of it. We're not talking about sinless perfection, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those that is their life, right? That is their life worship. You see, when we fall into a problem or a lust of the flesh or something, the Holy Spirit is there to convict us. And we repent and we make it right. We say, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. I don't want to do that. That's not my desire. Right? Because that's worshiping Him. He's convicting and saying, that wasn't right. You stepped over into the flesh. Forgive me, Lord. That's a way of worshiping Him. Amen? Repenting. Coming into subjection to the Word. We don't live in sinless perfection. We're at different levels of maturity. Amen? Amen. So man is worshiping something. And unconverted men are worshiping Satan. Though they may not know his name, they may not think of it that way, they are worshiping the god of this evil age, who is right now on the throne of this age. All right. Are you ready for some quotes? Amen. Amen. Let's actually just, let's read this scripture here real quick. I think that's what we've got. Yep. We read part of this morning in the book of Luke, but this is Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up in an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. There shouldn't be any debate about this, right? He's showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says, all these I will give thee. So who owns them? Who's in control? Who's on the throne? And if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Saying that to Jesus, right? Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. From the message, you must be born again. Now, he says some hard things here, all right? Get yourself ready. Put your seatbelts on. Brother Branham says, first, we must reckon ourselves sinners and worthy of condemnation. Now, this is not a born-again believer, but this is one who's a candidate to be born again. You've got to recognize this. It says, we are all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. There's not a sound parcel of us. Our minds are bad. Our soul is corruptible. Our constant thinking is evil. He's saying this about the nicest person you know that's unconverted. Amen? Every imaginary thought of a man's mind is evil, a sinner. And also that our body is weak, our spirit is no good, and we're just full of corruption. Brother Branham, did you leave anything out there? Just how could one corruptible thing bring another good thing out of our corruptible? Let me say this. In Job 14th chapter, he said, seeing that man is born of a woman, is full of sorrow and trouble, yet he cometh forth like a flower, and he fadeth away. And on as the prophet goes on speaking, he said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. You stick your bucket down into the well, and pull out a bucket of water, and it's stagnant. It stinks. You look into it and it's muddy. And little worms is in that water. And there's no way at all to put your bucket back and get a clean bucket. Amen? Man has been cast into sin and corruption. How are you going to get righteousness out of a cesspool of corruption? That's what he's saying, right? He says the whole world is contaminated. The whole soul, mind, and body of a man is contaminated with sin and born in sin, physically shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, so that his own soul is contaminated, nothing good. One cannot redeem the other because it's all wrong. That's why John wept. He said, who's worthy to open the book? And no one was found worthy because all had sinned. Brother Bram says, one can't redeem the other. It's all wrong. You can't take a bucket full of water here that's contaminated and another bucket full that's contaminated and mix them together. You've got more contamination. There's no purification to it. Amen. And then in here, he cares, you care. Do you care? He says, science has brought us to sickness, death, and diseases. Now, you've only been taught one side of the picture, but there's two sides to it. You say science has invented this and that and the other, right? We have many benefits from science, of course. He says, well, we're going to grant you that privilege. But let's look at the other side. Science has brought us sickness. Science has brought us diseases and death. Look, scientific hybriding has brought death to the generation of foods and things. It's got the people so soft until the man and woman are made up a bunch of muck. There's no structure to it. It's become a bunch of soft jellyfish. They can't even live without an air conditioner. Amen. Well, I'm so glad we're proving tonight that we can live without one, right? Brother Branham, I resemble that remark. Amen. Diseases and afflictions, he says. Diseases and afflictions are all results of sin. Maybe not in your life, but in somebody's life before you. Think about that now. The devil is the author of sickness and afflictions. Before we had any devil, we had no sickness or affliction. But when Satan came, he brought with him sickness and afflictions. In the rising of the sun, it is the rising of the sun. He says Satan is the author of death. He's the possessor of hell and also the grave. That was the trinity of Satan. Again, God's power to transform. Now, Satan is the author of civilization, and he is the author of science. So you're adding these up, right? He's the author of diseases and afflictions and sin and death, possessor of death, hell, and the grave, and he's the author of civilization and science. Amen. And God's provided way for this day. Brother Branham says, Eve tried to hybrid the word. In the beginning, God told her, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. She tried to breed it in with knowledge that Satan gave her. Knowledge brought death. And when she did, she lost the whole human race. Right there to the devil, when she tried to mix God's unadulterated word with knowledge. It doesn't come from the knowledge of the world. And yet, brother, sister, what are we fed day in and day out? Right? This problem that society's having, well, we just need to educate them. They need to be better educated. Right? We have immorality in our schools. Well, they need sex education. Absolutely ridiculous. Education, education, knowledge, knowledge, reasoning, reasoning. It's become the answer to everything in our age. Amen. Satan's Eden, the message Satan's Eden, Brother Branham says, we are now entering in where Satan is taking the throne. as the Antichrist. In an Eden of this earth, an Eden of sin, perverted religion. He started not upon, I am Satan, I am the great angel. Right? No, that's not how he came in. No, not upon that, but upon perverting God's word. And that's how he's brought his kingdom in every age. And now in this great deceitful age, ready to take his throne by his people. He has built for himself an intellectual, educated, scientific Eden. Right, scientific preachers, scientific church, scientific theology. Everything is scientific. Everything is on the basis of knowledge. The whole church is built upon knowledge. It ain't built upon faith. My, 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 my. Amen. You ready for a few more? The God of this evil age, he says she can wear shorts, wear pants, paints. Sorry, I was close. Not the same thing. She can wear shorts, wear paints, and still belong to his religious group, which is absolutely contrary to the word of God. And he says it's all right. See, his knowledge. Says, what's that got to do with a woman? Just the same as taking the forbidden fruit. Or not the forbidden fruit, that's what it is. God said not to do it, but he does it. And she believes him, and she loves him for it. Amen. She loves. Now, that spirit, think about this. What do they want to hear? Well, I want to hear a preacher that's going to tell me it's all right. Right? They want to hear that they're okay. That what I want to do is all right with God. Well, that's not the Holy Spirit. So where does that come from? He says, she loves him for it. Who? The God of this evil age. The God, Satan, that they are worshiping by that attitude. Amen? She loves him. She believes him and loves him for it. Though it happened right in church. I want to hear, and they won't say this, right? But that's the attitude of the flesh. I want to hear what makes me feel good. That's what the flesh says. She loves him for it. What a slicker, amen? She hates God. Her own actions prove she does. She says she loves him, but she loves Satan. Whew. Wow. My. This made him very unpopular. She worships the God of fashion. Oh my. The God of fashion. You can tell when a young lady is right on the edge just by the things she's wearing. Just by the things she's looking at. The thing that she's gazing on, if she's being caught up by the God of fashion. Amen? She worships the God of fashion, the God of the world, the Hollywood goddesses. She loves him, but she hates the true word of God, which is the only true God there is. They legalize it in the churches. There's no harm. Our women can do this, that, or the other. But in the presence of the living God, she's not even permitted to come unless she's repenting. Man, he's referring to that scripture, a woman shouldn't even pray with her head uncovered. Right? See, he's the God of worldly beauty. That's what the church worships today. She wants to look beautiful, and he is the God of beauty from the beginning. My, 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 my. Also from the message, God of this evil age, a little further down. Now we know that Satan's gospel is a gospel of science and progress. He preached it in Eden, not God. Satan did. The science of progress. Science and progress is Satan's gospel. How many times are we told, oh, man has made such progress? This is an age of progressivism. We're not like the men that used to be, the barbarians. I mean, you know, our ancestors, how awful they were. We've progressed. We are so much higher now. Look at the knowledge and the achievements. Amen? But given the opportunity, those men, women, they'll be barbarians just the same. The nature of man hasn't changed. Science and progress is Satan's gospel. And look where he's led us to today with it, see? He preached it in Eden to who? To Adam's bride. And she fell for it. He deceived her into questioning one of God's words. My. Now we're taught that it's admirable to question every word. Question authority. I don't know if that's still a thing. I remember when I was younger. They had, you know, bumper stickers and things around, and it was question authority. Question. That was the attitude of the Greeks. Nobody's right because everybody questioned. It was more admirable to question than it was to come up with an answer. Trained to question God's word. We've been trained to question God's word. Do you know that? In Satan's Eden. You've been conditioned to doubt. You've been conditioned to doubt God's word. He said, let's see what we might have said. He might have said, it's not scientific to die. Right? That was the word. The day you eat thereof, that day you'll surely die. Well, think about it. They didn't know what death was. Death, as far as they were concerned, it didn't even exist. It was not a thing. Right? So he reasoned with them. What is this? This thing doesn't even exist. What? It's some made up thing. Where is it? Show it to me. Death? What is it? Scientifically prove me that there is death. And he reasoned, right? He said he must have said it's not scientific to die in this holy church. My. Or you will be schooled and educated not to believe in such unreasonable things as death. I don't care if God's word did say it. It's unreasonable. And what have you done? You've bowed the knee to the God of knowledge. To the God of reasoning. I don't want to bow my knee to that. Amen? I don't care how much my symptoms say one thing. I don't want to bow to the God of reason. I want to bow to God's word. Amen. Amen? How many's with me on that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is pretty plain. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's a critical line. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Why? Because the works of the flesh are at enmity with the Spirit. Amen. And those that live according to the works of the flesh worship the God of this age. They're worshiping a different God. Amen? Amen. Now, these, brother, sister, this society that we live in, our American, this American experiment, as they say, was founded upon the principles of Christian governorship. Was founded by Christians, and it was founded on the principles of Christianity and the principles of the Bible, right? And so that was the established culture in our country. We were a Christian nation founded upon Christian values with a Christian culture. So as a result of that, through time, even unconverted men in our culture were constrained by that culture and by that value system as long as it was there and in place. Our judicial system comes from a biblical system of laws, God's laws, and our moral code of, you know, just how we treat one another came from the biblical foundations of our founding fathers. But men throughout our nation's history, we've always had men that were unconverted, amen, but by and large, they were constrained by this system, and the whole thing was held together by this culture that was established. Well, let me tell you, that culture is gone. Amen? So it used to be that even though men lived in the flesh, it was masked somewhat. They were worshiping the God of this age, living in the flesh. They were at enmity with God and lost, but it was not manifest so boldly. It was masked because of the culture that was in place. But now that that culture is gone, we're seeing a full-blown, flesh-ruled culture. Amen. Instead of having the biblical creed of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Now the creed or the culture is do unto others as they do unto you. Amen. Isn't that how the flesh reacts? This is a flesh ruled culture. It's no longer God ruled. Our nation is no longer a nation ruled by, you know, that is a Christian nation. We have individuals here. Thank God we still have a bride. God has a church. He has individuals. But this is no longer a Christian nation. As spoken of by our last president, I believe. He even said that. But what the flesh says, listen to this. Just let me take this example and bear into it for a moment. Do unto others as they do unto you. Right? Isn't that how your flesh reacts? Right? Well, they did this to me, so I do that to them. Well, wait a minute. The word way is to do to them what you want them to do to you. Right? The flesh way is to do to them like they do to you. But we've become a place. We've got a society now where it's not just freedom for our flesh to rule, but it's actually promoted and exalted. By the way, that quote that I just gave you, do unto others as they do unto you, is an excerpt from the Satanic Bible. Yep. That's where we are. That's where we are right now. Be true to yourself. Isn't that what our culture says? Be true to yourself. Do what you want. You want that prize out there, you go and get it. You work for it, you do whatever it takes. But you go and get it. It's your dream. You deserve it. Amen? I've heard it said, there is no such thing as a victimless crime. And people are right now. We're not here to talk about politics. All politics is corrupt. But brother, sister, the church has gotten herself involved in politics. Not the true church. Amen? The false church has gotten herself involved in politics. She's now aligning with a president that's done some filthy, dirty things. And she's willing to overlook it because of policy. Amen. Infidelity. Man, I mean, you look at how far we've come since JFK was the president. And it was, oh man, he's messing around. He's a playboy. Right? And it was hidden and hush-hush. And now it's whatever, man. The president's, you know, got porn stars and paying them off. And right? These are terrible, filthy things. How far have we come? And the church is lining themselves up with this because it fits an agenda. Oh my. How far have we come? I want to give you another interesting fact about how far we've come. Through most of our nation's history, we had at most at any given time one Roman Catholic on the Supreme Court. Then at one point there was two and maybe one, if any. All the way up to 1990. At 1990, there was a switch. And brother, sister, now we have five. And there are no Protestants on the Supreme Court. There are five Catholics and three Jews. Interesting, right? Now, obviously, the ninth one is up for approval right now. I have no idea what he is. But it just shows you how far we've come. Right? That Catholic system is representative of the great whore and the beast. But we know that she has children. The Protestants aren't. Right? They're not exempt from it. But just to show you what has happened to our system. Right? Where one time it was, man, no way would we have Catholics, right? The Protestants were against Catholics in power. Now it's like they're running things. In fact, if you look at, and I'll just finish on this because we're not talking politics. But if you look at what's considered in the political realm, our moral leaders, most of them are Catholic. And so the church is just, it's just being bound right up for the fire. Amen? Satan's Eden, where he ascends to a throne and is worshipped in the stead of God. Brother, sister, we can't flee to politics. Don't get caught up in that. That's why we're bringing it up. Amen? Don't get caught up in, well, he's a conservative and he's a liberal and we, you know, we're I want them to win because bad and good and no, it's all bad. It's all corrupt. It's all part of Satan's Eden. Right? We read to you where it said he said that civilization was started by the devil. This modern civilization is of the enemy. Politics is of Satan. Politics is based on lying. It's its foundation. Don't get yourself caught up into those things. Flee to Christ. That's the only safe place. Amen. That's the kingdom. There's a kingdom coming. Amen. You want to talk about that? Amen. We can't do it here with policies and laws. And brother, sister, one of these days, those laws, Satan's going to have his way, and that's what's going to bring in that persecution. But brother, we've got a kingdom coming. We've got a king. Amen. We've got to flee to Christ. That's the only safe place. Amen. So Satan's Eden is ruled by the flesh. It's ruled by knowledge, science, and wisdom, and it's death. Amen. Another statement here from Satan's Eden. Brother Branham says, the God of this world today, the worshipped person of this world today is Satan. And the people are ignorant of worshiping Satan, but it's Satan impersonating himself as the church, as the moral authority. Amen? See, as the church, they worship Satan, thinking that they are worshiping God through the church, but it's the way Satan has done it. Just a little compromise here, a little compromise there. Don't you want to be reasonable? We want to attract people. We want to bring people into the cause of Christ, Brother Eli. We want to bring them in. We don't want to push them away. So we just allow, you know, make allowances. Right? Well, we want people to come in. Come in just as you are, but don't leave the same. Amen. He says that's the way Satan has done it. Through getting man to fall by wisdom, Satan has successfully redirected worship away from God to himself. And so he receives worship. You see, because he's not really particular about the kind of worship he gets. He's kind of like a buzzard. Any old beetle work. No matter if it's 10 days old or fresh. Roadkill, full of, you know, bugs and ants, that's fine. He'll take any kind of worship. It don't matter if it's idol worship, if it's self-worship, right? He don't care. He'll take anything. Just slop it up. But God requires a pure worship. Amen. He requires a purity lined up with His Word. He requires a singleness of heart. Amen. God is looking for that unadulterated worship. That's what Jesus told us. Amen. So, brother, sister, we want to think about examples of this. Right? Like I said before, we're talking about normal good people. We're talking about, you know, the good moral guy. We're talking about judges. We're talking about police officers, and we're talking about teachers and professors and doctors, people that we would hold up in society. But if they're unconverted, they're living according to the flesh and worshiping Satan. God's servants, one of their main charges is to undo this and to block this redirection of worship and to redirect people's eyes back to God, to point them to Christ. That's the job of a servant of God. That's the job of a preacher. That's what the preaching of the word is for. Is to take the people's hearts and point them back to God. That any true servant of God will do that. Will come against what Satan is doing. Amen? Point it out. Show that it's wrong and show what's happening. And point people back to Christ. Anyone who does not do this is not a true servant of God. And there are plenty of examples all across the land. Men that are self-interested have the wrong motive, drawing people unto themselves instead of pointing them to a living God. Pointing to Him. We should always, everything we should do should always point to Him. Point to Christ. Worship Christ. It's the only provided place of worship. It's the only place we meet God. It is God's requirement. And we have yet in our own ranks, we have people pointing people instead of Christ, they point them to a messenger. They point them to a tape. We're supposed to point them to Christ. That's what the messenger on the tape told us to do. This is God's way of doing it. pointing to Christ. Oh my. Satan's whole mode is to redirect worship away from God. And he's done it even in our own ranks. Amen. Just a few more quotes. Is that all right? We're just about done. We're coming down the home stretch. Bear with me. Questions and answers. Paul said, "My flesh wants always to yield to that. Your flesh does too. But the law of the Spirit of God in the heart overcomes the flesh." Oh, hallelujah for that. Amen. Amen. Your flesh may want to fall in line with this evil age, but the Spirit overcomes the flesh and makes the body obey what the heart says do. Hallelujah. He says, "Now the law of sin and death works in your flesh, but the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart." So your heart, your spirit in your heart will make your body obey what it says do. That's exactly right. That's what Paul says. Always the flesh, "I'm too tired. I'm not sufficient," or "I'm unable, I'm not sufficient, I cannot do it." Amen. Our flesh is that way. It says, "I'm too tired to come to church. I can't do it. I don't want to. I don't. That's your flesh. But we've been given a spirit to overcome the flesh. Hallelujah. Our flesh comes into subjection of the Spirit, bringing us into worship to the one true God. Oh, how wonderful is that, brother, sister? This is why we must be born again. Amen? Hallelujah. So our subject today has been stolen worship. Refusing to worship, or worship of self, worshiping the flesh, or of knowledge, or of Satan, redirected worship, and refusing God's provided way is how Satan has stolen worship. But so you see, brother, sister, why the elect is so precious to God in this hour. They're the ones that he can't steal the worship from. Amen. They're the ones that have the light in the midst of darkness. Oh, hallelujah. What a contrast. Amen. Last quote here, 55, the fundamental foundation of faith. He says, "If Satan by his power can make his laws work in man, how much more ought God with his power make his laws work in man?" If Satan can make his laws, be sure and us recognize it, how much more? That's what we've been talking about tonight, right? He says, if Satan can do all of that that I described to you tonight, how much more ought God to make his children, to make his laws be recognized amongst his people? Divine healing and revelation and power and gifts and manifestation of the Spirit. The law of sin and death works in the people. And the law of the liberty of Christ has come unto us to set us free from those things. Hallelujah. We are not subject to the God of this evil age. We will not bow the knee to his throne. Amen. We are not part of his kingdom. We are not his subjects tonight. Hallelujah. Through the law of liberty of Christ, he says, oh, so I believe this with all my heart. I believe that we're nearing the age when people are going to recognize these things. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Appreciate Brother John singing that song tonight. He's still in the fire. Amen. You know what happened there to get them in that fire? Idol worship. Amen. Brother Branham said that Nebuchadnezzar, that Babylon kingdom, was the start of the Gentile age. And he said the Gentile age will end the same way. Worshipping a holy man. Worshipping an image that's not God. And those men stood there. Amen. In that evil age, in that evil time, they stood there and they said, I will not bow the knee. I am not going to worship that image. Amen. Even if it's an image of a prophet. I will not bow the knee to anything but the living God. He's the only one that deserves my praise. Hallelujah. Amen. They were thrown into the fire for that, brother, sister. But I'm so glad that in the midst of that trial, God came on the scene. Right in the fire, this furnace that's been heated 7 times hotter. Amen. This 7th age, come down, that's 7 times hotter. Amen. There's a man, there's a 4th man in the flames tonight. Amen. He has not left us, brother, sister. He has not left us in Satan's Eden to fend for ourselves. He's here in the midst of the fire with us. Hallelujah. It's not about pleasing the world, it's about pleasing Him. I don't care what that old world out there thinks. I want to please Him. Amen. Hallelujah. That 4th man was in that fire to deliver them from that idolatry of that age. Brother, sister, the Bible says that they came out of that flame. They came out of that furnace without a smell of smoke on them. Amen. We're going to get out of this age, brother, sister, without the slightest smell of sin on us. Without the smell of idolatry. Without the smell of this worship of Satan. We will not bend the knee to the God of this evil age. Amen. We will not allow the works of the flesh to overcome us. By the power that God has placed in us. The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. He gives us that overcoming power. Amen. Brother, sister, I'm so thankful for that tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Through this grace that He's given to us to overcome in this Satan's Eden. And we can influence others. We can shine a light. And we can take others with us. Oh, hallelujah. What a contrast she is. The light in the midst of gross darkness. And as the darkness gets darker and darker, just an inky black, how those little lights just shine that much brighter. How much that contrast is just drawn so much greater. Amen. Brother, sister, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him through obedience. Let's worship Him through humility. Let's worship Him through service. Let's worship Him in spirit and truth. Acknowledging Him. Amen. Saying, Lord, You're God. You're in control, Lord. Lord, all that I have is Yours. Take me as I am, Lord. All that I have, Lord. I want to just be pleasing to You. Amen. Musicians, if you'd come, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Amen. Just as we bow our heads. Amen. If you just have a need on your heart. Maybe something was said tonight. Maybe the Holy Spirit just put something on your heart as the word went forth. Maybe it was a song that was sung, something that just pricked your heart tonight and said, Lord, I need You, Lord. I'm not where I need to be. I know that, Lord. I see the world around me. It's getting worse and worse, and Satan's Eden is, oh, he's just having his way, but God is having His way in His bride. And Lord, maybe your heart, you're just saying, Lord, I haven't been obedient the way I have or I should. I haven't been, Lord, I haven't been living right. Maybe I've been caught up into things in Satan's Eden. Maybe I've been caught up by the god of fashion. Maybe my eyes have been turned by the god of Hollywood or some other thing. If that's you tonight, you just want to lift up your hands. Lift up your hand to God and just reach out to Him right now. Just say, Lord, I'm Yours, Lord. I repent of that. Lord, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to worship Satan. I don't want to be a part of his kingdom. I want to be a part of Your kingdom, Lord. I want to lay aside every weight, Lord. Everything that's drawing me, Father. I want overcoming power, Lord, to keep my flesh in subjection. Just raise your hands to Him tonight. He sees those hands tonight. He can meet that need. He can go right to your heart right now. and give you what you have need of. Just reach out to Him. Surrender to Him tonight. Give yourself over to Him. He's looking for surrendered hearts. He's looking for a complete surrender tonight. He's not looking for a halfway confession or somebody who just wants to put one foot in and one foot out, keep one foot in the world. He's looking for somebody who's just all in. Lord, I don't want any part of Satan's kingdom. I don't want to look like it. I don't want to smell like it. I don't want any part of it. You just lift your hand to Him. He'll come down and meet you if you've got that kind of attitude tonight. Lord, bless those hands tonight. Bless every hand, Father, that went up, Lord. Father, I pray that You would go and meet every need there, Lord. Lord, You know just how to do it. You know just the need there, Father. But Lord, we're looking to You. You're the only one, Lord. Lord, You're the only one that can deliver us. We have no strength in and of ourselves, Lord. But we're looking to You. Lord, as we said Wednesday night, the author and finisher of our faith. Beginning and ending, Lord, You're all of it and everything in between. How we love You tonight. We thank You in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, let's just worship Him now. Amen. Let's just give Him thanks for what He's done, for who He is, for what He is to us tonight. How precious and wonderful He is to the saints tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him in honor. Let's give Him the sacrifice of praise with our lips. Hallelujah. Oh, how we love You, Lord Jesus. How we love You, Lord. Oh, Lord, You are mighty. You are greater, Lord, than anything in this earth, Lord. Hallelujah. How we worship You, Lord. Glory to the living God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to His name. Hallelujah. How He's seeking such to worship Him in spirit and in truth tonight. Hallelujah. Almighty God. There's none like You, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that little chorus together tonight. I worship You, Almighty.